Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and you and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture reading for today is 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 9, located on page 1896 in your pew Bible. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. This is one of my favorite sections from Revelation. I have done many Bible studies on that. At some point here, we are going to study the book of Revelation. It is a powerful book, a difficult book. But this is one of my favorite sections of it, where the saints who have died because of their witness to the Lord are crying out to God for vengeance, for reconciliation, for God to do something. Let us listen now for the Lord of the word of the Lord. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the saints of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed as they had been. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Let us pray. Now, O Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with love for yourself, Lord Jesus. Amen. So it's not an uncommon occurrence for when Ann and I are going on a grocery trip together and we have been shopping and we got a grocery cart full and there are several lines that we have to choose from. And I will be looking around, you know, and Ann will go, "Greg, you choose." I always choose the wrong line. I always choose poorly. And she's convinced, and I don't know, I mean, I could have picked him right in. I could have picked him just as poorly. Who knows, right? You get in line and you know, who knows what's going to happen, right? And so she says, "Gray, you choose. You choose." So what do? I start judging. I look around and I start to size people up. I look at their grocery carts. I look at what they have in their hands. Not just how short the line is, right? Because it's not just about how short the line is. That's the one mistake people make all the time in the grocery store. "Oh, we're going to go the shortest line." Don't do that. Don't do that. So I'll be passing, right? I got my cart and I'm looking. I'm like, that guy couldn't fit too much more in his cart. Pass. Oh. That lady's got a bunch of coupons. No, thank you. Moving on. And then you look and you see somebody over here. You go, "Oh man, they got a lot of fruit and vegetables in that thing. Oh man, they're going to be using that circle thing, trying to figure out what that one strange fruit or vegetable is. No, thanks." Man, that cashier is moving. That's where I'm going. And so everybody, I think, has their little tricks, right, to pick the quickest line. And I read a whole bunch of articles this week, though the evidence seems to be pretty weak on any of these things. There's some people that suggest that you should always choose the line furthest to the left, because everybody is right-handed and they just veer to the right-hand side. I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's true or not. But the reality is that if there is a line at the grocery store, you are going to wait, no matter how well you choose. That is a guarantee, and most of us have no stomach for it, especially when you can see what is holding the line up. You're like, another price check? You've got to be kidding me. It's so painful that when asked, people typically overestimate their wait time by 36%. They have done polls on this. Oh, that's how painful it is to wait. You overestimate it by 36%. It's like, for some reason, when you're in the checkout line, time moves slower for some reason. So waiting in all its shapes and forms is an essential part of being a human being, right? It's part of the human condition. We wait for all sorts of things in our lives. As kids, we wait for our birthday, right? We heard a few of that. We wait for the summer when school gets out. But as we mature, waiting becomes more substantial, right? We wait for the right job. We wait for children to be born. We wait for healing from broken relationships or hurting bodies. We're waiting for a phone call about a diagnosis, or waiting for justice to be served. Sometimes we can handle the waiting, we settle in, but other times the waiting is just simply intolerable. We feel like we're going to explode if something doesn't get settled right then and there. This intolerable waiting is how the saints in our passage from Revelation felt. John, in a vision from God, sees a group of Christians who were killed by Rome for witnessing to God, and they're standing under the altar of heaven crying out, "Sovereign God, how long before you do something about this? How long before you judge and avenge our blood?" They died for witnessing. These were people who were faithful to God even to the point of death. And they died for witnessing that God was Lord of all and Caesar most definitely was not. They were steadfast. They were committed. And so you would think that when they had been killed and they were now in heaven, they were at the altar of heaven next to God, you would think that they were going to be happy, right? You would think, this is it. We made it. We're next to God. We died, but here now we have our reward. And no, they're not happy. In fact, they're downright miserable out there at the altar of God. They're mad because of what happened to them. They're mad about what's happening in the world. They're mad that people are dying. And so they call out to God, no, this is not right. This injustice has to end. They want God to get moving on this great plan that God has. They're frustrated. And they cannot enjoy eternity with God as long as the evil and oppression still run rampant in the earth. They can't be at peace. So they ask God, how long? How much longer do we have to wait? Did our suffering mean anything? I think we ask God the same questions. How long, O Lord, do we have to wait before my life calms down? How long do we have to wait before I stop feeling this way? How long do we have to wait before love rules over the land? So we wait. We wait trusting that God will reveal the way forward. We wait believing that waiting is not in vain. We wait because we have really no choice but to wait, right? Revelation, God asks the saints to wait until more people have witnessed to the truth before God will act. That's why he says more people will have been killed. God's waiting for even more people to witness to God and his fullness. So the question isn't how do we have to wait, but how do we wait? Are we frustrated and angry that we're not moving fast enough? Do we sulk around depressed that we're in this situation in the first place? Or do we find another way to wait? So maybe you were like me when you're at the grocery store and you're waiting, that you would just get completely frustrated. Just like, you've got to be kidding me. Why is this going so slow, right? And you're like frantically searching for, you're looking over like two aisles over, just saying, oh man, if only I was in that line right now. And maybe you move because you're so impatient, right? And you get frustrated. And I used to find myself, I don't know if y'all feel this, but I used to feel some like real deep resentment, anger building up. Man, I just can't handle this, right? And it was a few years ago that I finally decided to switch, because it was not doing me anything good by being angry in the grocery line and being, you know, not happy. I decided that when I got into a line and I committed to the line and I had to wait, that I had to just completely reframe this time. I said, this is now the reminder that I have to wait. God is saying, hey, take a breath. It's built in patience. And now I see that time as valuable, because maybe I haven't have given an opportunity to have take a breath that day. Maybe I've been so busy, I've been so crazy, I've been trying to get everything on my list done, that I haven't taken time to take stock, to take a breath, to be aware of my surroundings. And so now when I'm in the grocery store, I'm like Mr. Zen. Oh, yeah. All right. What's going on? Maybe I'll talk to my neighbor, right? So what's going on? What's going on with you? Hey, what's up? How are you doing today? I'm going to look back at what's going on, you know? I'm even to the point, I'm so Zen at Aldi, I let three or four people who only have a few things in line just go right in front of me. Come on. Go. But here's the crazy thing about my Zenness. I don't have that outside of the grocery store. I'm dreaming of the day that I can bring that Zenness from Aldi and Kroger and just take it out into the world. Right now, I have been wildly unsuccessful. And maybe each of you feel the same way, right? Because that is what we should be doing throughout our lives, seeking to transform moments of frustration and anger into opportunities to grow and mature. Waiting can bring out the worst in you or the best in you. Choose to wait with purpose and intention. Choose to be active in your waiting. Frustration and anger will paralyze you. It will paralyze your faith if you let it. I was thinking about national politics this week. Yesterday, there were a bunch of protests regarding immigration and immigration reform. And maybe you're like me. Man, if we could just come to something that we could all just say, all right, this is how we're going to handle this in a way that's graceful and loving. How are we going to do this? And it's hard, right? This is a hard conversation, as you can see, the debates that are happening in Congress and the Senate. And I think about this because I get angry and frustrated, right? And I have a couple of options because I'm waiting for something to be done. Somebody to figure this out, to do something about it. And I have a choice while I'm waiting. I can be mad about it. I can go on Facebook and rant and let my politician du jour of the day, who I'm mad at, let him have it. I can be angry. I can talk trash about them. Politicians I disagree with. I can rant and rave with my friends on the phone. But this would truly be waiting in frustration and bitterness. Or I can choose to fill my time waiting by transforming my frustration into positive action. I can donate to organizations that lobby for common sense and grace-filled policy. I can write my senators and representatives advocating for my position. I could use my time waiting to build my faith, to grow and mature in my Christ-like walk. And this is true for all of our lives and every situation you are in that you find yourself waiting. You have a choice. You can choose to destroy, to tear down, to feed into the negativity and disgusting brokenness. Or you can say, no, this time is going to be a time for me to build up. It's going to be a time for me to learn. It's going to be a time for me to figure some things out, to take stock, to listen, to take a breath. That is what good waiting is all about. It's about being active, understanding that this is an opportunity, not something to lose our minds about. So this should be the case for all of our issues: family drama, health issues, career problems, or just plain tragedy that life throws our way. Because we deal with a lot of that. Because no matter how you spin it, waiting is painful. And nothing ever happens on our preferred timeline. Our passage from 1 Peter tells us that clearly. Yet this waiting does not need to be in vain. It doesn't need to be filled with trashy celebrity magazines, gift cards, and candy, right? Because that's the temptation, right? When we get to the grocery store, it's all there waiting for us. Waiting can be a time of transformation, resurrection, a time to take a breath, to see the world around you, and connect with it in ways you never, ever imagined. So next time you find yourself becoming a hothead at the slow lane at the grocery store or in life, take a step back. See how this time may be used to help build the kingdom of God in this community and beyond. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.